Thank you so much for being here on this Wednesday. And if we could turn the brightness down on those lights just a little bit, I can see you folks out there a little bit better. Excuse me? Okay.
I forgot to announce.
We interrupt the sermon.
We're having
to bring
a bake sale Sunday to help Tim and Cindy Pierce, their ministry in Kenya. We saw, have been seeing the videos of the new church, and they had thought they had everything paid for, but then the keyboard was another expense, so that's about $1,000. So some of our women are bringing baked goods, and we'd love for you, if you want to bring baked goods, see Tracy over here, and she's going to sign you up. We'll have those Sunday, and you can make a donation for that ministry and take some baked goods home with you for the Labor Day weekend.
Thank you. What I'm going to preach on tonight, I've got a little ouch about it. And it's a simple message. Ever so often, I will come back around to this particular type of message, but I really think it's very significant for us to get this right. And I want to teach tonight about the transforming power of gratitude. Mickey and I got in the car to come over here, and I'm driving out of my driveway. I turned my air conditioning on, and I said, and then I caught myself because I was about to say, it is so hot, which would have been a true statement. But knowing I was about to preach about scaling back on complaining, I caught myself. So, yay, caught myself. Instead of saying, it's so hot, I said, I'm so glad we've got good air conditioning in this car. I don't know about you, but I miss doing that a lot of times. It's just natural sometimes to give commentary on your circumstance and not realize that you're really getting in a ditch, biblically. Gratitude, thanksgiving, being grateful, being thankful is such a powerful component to living a life that exemplifies Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean we don't speak truth. It doesn't mean that we deny reality. And I'm using this real simple, short verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, the Thanksgiving verse that a lot of preachers use on Thanksgiving. It's very apparent why. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For no other reason, we should be thankful because it's God's will for our lives. And if we want to put a little pressure on our toes, we can simply say, if we're not being thankful, then obviously in some dimension we are not in God's will. When we're complaining, we're out of God's will, because it is the will of God for us to give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that in everything, that's like, I don't know, because often we think of it like God saying, I want you to give thanks for everything. That's not what it says. It says in everything. In the Greek, that's a preposition that in this instance, like in the sphere of the circumstance that you're in, be grateful. This doesn't mean that we are to white-knuckle it. Just to, you know, have some backbone and just trudge forward. We can view this as like a hard-to-obey command of Scripture. Or maybe, just maybe, perhaps, if we pop the hood and think a little bit more deeply and into what's going on in the engine of this verse, The Lord is saying to us, something really good's going to happen for you if you can be grateful in everything you face in life. Because as I just illustrated, you know, I was going to start giving negative commentary about how hot it was. What a predicament we'd be in if the sun didn't work. Right? So, again, it's not about white-knuckling it, bowing it up and giving it the old college try, because it goes on to say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Another the same preposition occurring again. In Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God. In Christ Jesus for you. God is not telling us that we're to give gratitude out of our own human resource. But with the revelation of who we are in Christ and the access we have into God's grace, we, because we are in Christ Jesus, can be empowered to have a divine perspective on everything that's coming down the pike at us. Doesn't mean God's sending it our way, but when it gets there, we're still in Christ, we still have access to grace, and we can plow through it. Another way to think about this little verse, another window that we can pop open and stick our head through and think about, is this. In everything, if we're not giving thanks for it, then what are we doing? Usually. We're complaining. We're going negative. We can get into criticism. I don't like this. Well, if I had it my way. And on it can go. We can really ramp up, work ourselves up, get ourselves into anxiety. We can just preach ourselves right into depression and get that Eeyore thing on us. That, if you're familiar with Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore is the donkey that always melancholy. Everything's, why bother? Everything's going to go wrong. You know, the Murphy's Law, if it can go wrong, it will. So, the Word of God is telling us, regardless of the situation, whatever you're in the middle of, you need to focus on who you are in Christ and the grace that's available to you because of that access, and utilize that grace and be grateful to God. Be thankful in the middle of whatever's going on. So that's just a little introduction and overview of that verse. And then I want to talk about, because I've mentioned grace already a number of times, you may not be able to, I don't know if you can see that well from there or not, because I pasted this little chart in down here that I saw that I really liked, because it uses the Greek word for grace, the word charis here. Well, my red dot's gone. Charis, grace. The middle word is kara. We in English would be K-A-R-A. We named our daughter Kara Beth from two words, kara meaning joy, Beth meaning house. She's our little house of joy. So that's her name. But kara, joy. And then eucharista, like the Eucharist, that's a compound Greek word that's got the word charis. And then the EU is the Greek word that means good. Good grace. So to be thankful is you are acknowledging God's good grace. You're acknowledging that. And if you think of this idea of grace, I preached on this Sunday, so this is still, the paint hadn't dried on that for me. But grace, that empowerment that we get, that God gives us, the access we have to the benefits to Christ, the God's heart posture toward us is one of grace. And so you've got joy that's got that root word in it of charis. You've got grace, charis. You've got thanksgiving, charis. Charismata, grace giftings, where we get the word charismatic. So again, grace is a big deal to us. And because we are in Christ, we have access into that grace. As I preach Sunday, we can stand in that grace. We're saved by that grace. We can stand in that grace. We reign through that grace. And here we see we are enabled to live a life of gratitude because of God's good grace. And I like this little chart here where it says Eucharistos, talking about giving thanks, the outward vocal expression that aligns our attitude with the courts of heaven. Joy, the spontaneous inner delight that springs up when grace is acknowledged. Grace, the unearned favor of God, the root of every spiritual blessing we receive in Christ. So, who we are in Christ, all those spiritual blessings, that inner joy expressed in thanksgiving is the manifestation of God's good grace shining forth in our life. So, let me make three comparisons for you. I want to talk about the relationship of gratitude and attitude. You may have heard a message before. I preached about the gratitude attitude. There's books that are written about the attitude of gratitude. And they go together nicely, obviously. But it's so true. If we can have our perspective framed through the lens of being grateful to God, it changes things. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. No matter what you're in the middle of, you may not can thank God for that thing, but you can be thankful for him and you can bless his name. And there's a grace that comes upon you and released within you, comes upon you and is manifested from you when you give thanks. So the relationship between gratitude and attitude, having a perspective that you're not, please don't hear me saying that we don't acknowledge when things aren't right, but we don't let that shut down what is right. You have to deal with stuff that's wrong. Sometimes you need to take steps to adjust things that aren't what they need to be or the way the Lord wants them to be and not the way you want them to be. You have to deal with life. We can't stick our head in the sand. You have to take life as it comes, but to be thankful in everything and have an attitude of gratitude is the stuff that's happening doesn't shut down your acknowledgement that he is with you. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And so the enemy knows that, and your flesh is activated by the murmuring, by the complaining, by the criticisms and so forth. That energizes our flesh because our flesh feeds on sin, and then that blinds us to the blessings that are present. And this is where things can really go off the rails in our life. Say you experience some type of loss or somebody mistreats you or you are greatly offended in some way. When you magnify that thing and that thing becomes your focus and the ugly that stirs up in you now is being exported into your relationships, exported into the good things going on in your life, blinds you to the blessings, blinds you to the good things, then that's what being able to have an attitude of gratitude protects you from. When the hose is turned on, pure water comes out, not polluted water. And this is one of the things that's hard to live by. It really is. And sometimes people's personalities are different. Some people may have a more negative personality, and they may have to struggle more to come over it. And some people are just bubbly and positive. You know, that's one thing I love about you, Pastor Gary, is you're always up, you're always positive. And I love that about you, brother. It reminds me of the guy that he was positive about everything. And one day somebody said, man, you just have something good to say about everything. You probably have something good to say about the devil, don't you? He said, well, he is persistent. But a lot of this is about framing your attitude and allowing Scripture to inform your attitude. Wisdom that's from above means you see life from above. More on that in a moment. But wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view, having God's perspective on life. A lot of times, that's where you find the answer to the problem you're facing. You can dive deep in despair and complain, or you can pause and say, Lord, what does your word say about this? How do you see this? Or the WWJD, what would Jesus do? Or WWJT, what would Jesus think? And that's important. So there's this relationship between gratitude and attitude. And this scripture that I just read, we're told, hey, when you come to the Lord's house, when you walk through those gates, you come into His courts, I want you to enter with thanksgiving in your heart. You know it'll work in your marriage? Male or female, husband or wife, when you come into the door and your spouse is there, I guarantee you how you greet them can set the climate in your home. You walk in, how'd your day go, sweetheart? I don't want to talk about it. Okay, no talking. But seriously, we used to have a little Yorkie, and the one thing I loved about my little dog, we had him for 13 years, is, man, I could go outside to put something in the garage and come back in the house, and you had thought I'd been gone 6 months, the way that dog would just so happy to see me. That little tail would be bobbing and just like I'd been gone for months. We are to Eucharisto to manifest God's good grace. And sometimes we need to inform our faces that it's there. You know, send an email to your face. You know, hey, you're actually happy. You're supposed to be happy. As the man thinks in his heart. So if you're having a down day, start thinking up. If you're battling, feeling depressed, start thinking joy. Start speaking it. Start thinking it. Start prophesying it. What's that do? You're turning the spigot or the faucet on so that grace can begin to manifest through you. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving. So that relationship between gratitude and attitude, I need to speed up here. Second one, I want to talk about the relationship between gratitude and altitude. Just making this easier to remember. Gratitude and altitude. And we are told here in Psalm 34, 1 and 2, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Notice that. Shall continually be in my mouth. Shall continually be in my mouth. If we had mouth monitors, how much would praise and blessing the Lord and gratitude continually be in our mouth? Not counting the times you're taking your foot out of your mouth. Gratitude and altitude. And I love this image here, this idea of soaring above the storms, because I read where when a storm would move down, like in these places where they have these big canyons, when a storm would start moving in, all the little birds, they would find trees and bushes to get in to try to be protected from the storm. But the eagle would set its wings and head right into the fierce gale of that storm. And that strong wind coming against the eagle would begin to cause him to gain altitude. And it really jettisons the eagle up, 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 until finally he's above the storm and he's in the sunshine again. Because he learns to set his wings so that the things coming against him caused him to gain altitude. And that scripture that we started with, "Let in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus," that's another reason we need to be grateful, so that we can soar above the storms. What do we tend to do, humanly speaking? We get under the load of it, weighed down. And again, I'm not talking about a giddy, plastic pretend, you know, that we Christians can do sometimes. Like, well, we just pretend that it's great, and inside we may be falling to pieces. I'm talking about a genuine, authentic revelation that we carry inside of us. This is tough. This is a storm. Life is hard right now. This thing that I'm going through, it's very difficult. But greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. This is tough. I'm not prophesying anything when I'm saying that. I'm acknowledging the reality that I'm facing. I'm not pretending. I'm not saying, though, that's just a lie. It's not really there. Because if it's there, it's there. What I am saying is, it may be a fact that I'm in a storm, but the truth is I serve one who calms my storms. It may be a fact I'm in a battle right now, maybe with my health or whatever. I'm in the middle of a battle. That may be a medical fact, but the truth is, by His stripes, I am healed. You are exalting truth over fact, because the fact is, you can't throw an axe head in the Tennessee River and expect it to float. But the truth is, the man of God, at the directive of the Lord, caused an axe head to float. You see, truth is greater than fact, because the supernatural has power over the natural. There are laws of nature. If I just step on out here, I would say there's almost 100% chance that I'm going to hit the floor. That's fact. But the truth is, Jesus, standing on solid ground, was jettisoned up into glory in the presence of His disciples. That's the truth. Truth is greater than facts. So sometimes I think we can get a little off on denying the facts. Paul said, "Trophimus, I left in Miletus sick." I believe all Scripture is under inspiration of the Lord. That was part of what Paul wrote. And so I don't think that he stated something he shouldn't have stated. He was letting people know Trophimus is sick. Pray for him. But I guarantee you, Paul was praying for him to be healed. So learn to discern that. Learn to discern that. You know, if I take my temperature and it says 102, I can say it's not 102, but that's not the fact. The fact is, it's 102. But the truth is, I rebuke this fever in Jesus' name, and I have authority in Jesus' name over this natural fact. And trust God and believe God. So, altitude. Our storms can take us out, or if we can live with a heart filled with gratitude, we can actually gain altitude by utilizing thankfulness in the middle of everything coming at us. Now, that's either true or it's not. Now, I believe it's true. So if it's truth, then there's power in it over that thing coming against you, the fact. Lastly, let me take just a moment and talk about gratitude and latitude. Thought about adding magnitude and amplitude, but my time's limited here. I like this verse out of Psalm. You have enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. Later in this very psalm, he talks about how thankful he is to the Lord, but this idea of latitude is enlarging, making something larger, expanding something. When we have gratitude in our life, when we're learning how to practice thankfulness in everything, giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, you're anchored in Christ, out of who you are in Christ, and those resources of grace, then you're making your declaration. You're expressing your gratitude in appropriate biblical ways. And another one here in 2 Corinthians 4, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Again here, what God is doing, where grace is moving, then that begins to multiply the thanksgiving among other people. I mean, you might start a gratitude revival in your house, a gratitude revival in your marriage, a gratitude revival in your family. Take it to school, start a gratitude revival. See who can outthank everybody else. Can you think of three things immediately right now that you can thank God for today? You can be thankful. I'm almost through with this message. Gratitude and latitude. So, three things here. Let's change our tudes. Change your attitude, elevate your altitude, expand your latitude, all by being thankful. All these are good things in your life. And how do we do that? By the grace of God. Again, don't hear me saying you got to white knuckle your way through this. That's self-power. No, you got grace. Endowment, power from on high through Holy Spirit. Well, it's just, I may be saying it, but it's hard for me to mean it. By faith, we live our Christian life. There are a lot of things the Lord's going to ask you to do you don't want to do. You may not want to do it, but you learn to live by faith. I don't know how this could work out, but this is what the Word says, so I'm going to do it. And so don't be deceived by how you feel about something. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith. Don't let the tail wag the dog. You keep the caboose at the rear of the train. And you let faith be the locomotive that's driving where you're going. Put your faith in what God says. Hide His Word in your heart. Pray on it. Meditate on it. Then begin to dispense it out your mouth in faith. Be thankful and be grateful. And just start where you can with it. Lord, I'm so angry. I'm glad I didn't take a swing at him. Just start there. I'm thankful I didn't take a swing at him. And try to ramp it on up, okay? Let's stand together. I appreciate your attention and for these simple truths out of God's Word. And we're going to pray together over this, and I just want you to think about this. Sometimes the thing that we're needing to see that's really causing things to go awry in our lives are the simple things in Scripture. And I think this is one of them. What I mean by that is simply that by incorporating, making a commitment, like I'm really going to work on this, I'm going to try to catch myself, like Pastor Eddie did when he started to complain about how odd it is. Try to catch yourself. Reframe how you say things and try to express gratitude more. Express appreciation to the people in your life. Like, guys, when you're going to sleep tonight, look in your sweetheart's eyes, your wife. So just clarifying. and tell her how much you appreciate her. Pray for her regularly and thank God for her and her hearing. And it works the other way too. It changes things. Because sometimes we miss that, the simple thing. It's like the guy who went to the doctor. And the doctor said, "What's wrong?" The guy says, "My head hurts. My shoulder hurts. My elbow hurts. I've got my ribs, they hurt." He just, everywhere he just said, he just pain. The doctor said, "Well, let me examine you." He examined him. He said, "Well, I found your problem. You got a broke finger." Sometimes we're not seeing the thing that's really wrong because it's a simple thing. And I'm telling you that being thankful is one of the simple things, little things, if you'll start doing it, will bring big dividends and results in your life. Because it's about releasing God's good grace. Let's hold our hands up. Lord, as we lift our hands in surrender to you, I'm asking, Lord, as pastor of this house, I'm asking you as your child, help me to be more thankful. Help me to remember to be thankful. Help me to practice gratitude. Express gratitude from my heart. Help me to see things the way you do, Lord. Help me to see the gold that we're looking for, not the dirt we have to move to get there. Maybe you need to pray that prayer. Take a moment. And a little cleanup detail. Lord, cleanse me, forgive me for complaints, murmuring. Perhaps you need to pray that prayer as well. Lord, it's so naturally easy for us to complain and see what's wrong. But we need supernatural help. We need grace to be thankful and to praise and to see what's good. Help us. Just say it out loud. Help me, O Lord, to be thankful. Now, because His Word says it's His will for us to be, and we just ask Him to help us, that's what He's going to do. Amen? Some of our altar workers, if you'll come up here and be here available to pray. Before you go tonight, if you need prayer, please come. These will be here. They'll be happy to pray with you if we could have a couple of people over here as well. God bless you. Thank you for coming out tonight. Pray you have an awesome week. Invite someone to come back with you this coming Lord's Day. We're going to have a good time here on Sunday. It's Communion Sunday. Always look forward to that. Love you big. Thank you much. Let's go out and be grateful. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you.